If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
U.S. factory activity slowed.
Based on hitting a shareholder value as market capitalization.
A lot more global. So creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And welcome to Friday afternoon, everyone, from the Allstate Skyline Studio. I'm Steve Bertrand with the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to talk about what to do. You know, the job market is so tight, a lot of people are getting more than one offer. The offers are coming in faster than people can fend them off. And Tom Gimbel has some advice for that. We usually start on Fridays with Andrea Haines from the Blue Sky in the Chicago Tribune. And, Andrea, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thanks, Steve.
Andrea had the misfortune of seeing each Bennett Wake Night, the producer, and I chair dance just about 45 seconds ago.
I'm pro chair dancing.
And she's still here. So that's just a wonderful way to start the program. All right. I was teasing with Bill and Wendy about this story that you sent me. Felice Marantz and Rebecca Greenfield wrote it for Bloomberg News. Okay, right away I'm worried two women wrote this story.
You're in trouble.
But it has to do with the... because, look, do you think women talk more than men in life?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question. That was a succinct women answer there. Yes.
I think they do, too. I mean, I certainly don't like talking very much. I think women talk more. And then here comes the study about conference calls. They've looked at 155,000 conference calls over the past 19 years. Of course, they're recorded, so they can analyze them. And what is it? Men talk 92% of the time?
Men were talking almost all the time, which if you've listened to many of these, it probably doesn't come as a surprise.
No, right.
You know, normal humans probably don't, but this is when companies report their earnings, and then they take to a call to explain them, answer questions, and so you have analysts, you have journalists, you have, you know, the company executives basically speaking, and it's 92% men, according to this study.
Most of the people participating in these calls are men.
Yes.
I mean, that's changing, but the fact is most of them are men.
Yes, the participants are men, but also just the length of time, even when there are women involved, the length of time that the men speak is much greater. They give more verbose answers, the story.
I head into this article thinking, wait, women talk more. This can't be.
And myth, then, Steve.
And then I start thinking about these men in business, and there is nothing more fingernails on a chalkboard than someone who takes 30 seconds to say yes or no, or to say, I don't know. And I guess that is more likely to be a man than a woman?
It seems like it. You know, women are giving, you know, it sounds like quicker answers. You know, they just aren't expounding perhaps for as long. And then, of course, you wonder, like, sometimes as a woman, you have to learn to take that airtime, because if you don't, that's what happens, right? You kind of wind up being minimized.
Okay.
So maybe you don't want to totally pack it with unnecessary stuff, but you kind of have to take that time.
Well, not to be defensive, but then maybe that's the way the men are speaking that way, too. You know, maybe they came up through it realizing that they had to grab the time.
Yeah, they're maybe more habituated to doing it than women are at this point.
But we should all stop.
Everybody needs, you know, yeah, it's funny. I was watching the Weather Channel this morning with the hurricane, and I was noticing how good they were at crediting other speakers.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting. You know, they were kind of like, as you said, well, you know, and then they would make the point. So it seemed like almost trying to credit the person who had initially made the point, which often is a woman who feels run over by the fact that then the guy will take the idea, run with it, and then everybody forgets woman ever said anything.
That's really interesting you have that view, because as someone who does a lot of interviews and is interviewed, that's a great tool in interviewing people. And I think it shows a graciousness, as you said, or, you know, a lot of times you'll hear people say, well, that was a great question. And that's a great way to ingratiate yourself with the other person. Sometimes it goes overboard, like not every question's a great question.
Yep.
But we're a little off track. So then they looked at everything. They looked not just at conference calls. Studies have found that men talk more than women in all kinds of group settings, including school board meetings and even the Supreme Court.
Is this surprising?
Well, it is surprising because, like I said, I think women talk more in general. And so do you. You admitted that.
No, I didn't. I believe the question was,
yes.
Do men talk more?
No,
to which I said yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misspoke then.
That's
I meant
okay.
to say, do women talk more than men?
I don't think so. I think that's a myth.
In general, in life?
I think it's a myth.
Huh, I'm going to disagree with you there.
Yeah. Maybe you guys are so tired from talking at work all day that when you come home, you don't talk as much.
I don't know. All I know is I'm ready to go. Okay. So there's that. So let's go from there to a couple of women who were in the corporate world and started their own business, this Oars and Alps product line. And they come out of Chicago?
They are Chicago-based. It's a skincare line for men that so far has like deodorant, moisturizer, face wash, and it's branded for men, which I think brings up, you know, we talk about sometimes that idea of shrink it and pink it if you're making the product for women.
Right.
And this is almost the opposite. It's taking these sort of traditionally maybe feminine skincare products, branding them for men and putting them in very masculine looking packages.
I can tell you as someone who likes to wear, clean himself.
That's a good quality.
That it's very difficult to find something that's not Axe or Old Spice. And they're trying to sort of step it up. Do you know how affordable they are?
Yeah, it does create more options. So they're going into Ulta. So if you think of that kind of price point, it's maybe not the most elite price point, but maybe it's a step above your drugstore products, where you also can get a lot of things now that are like, there's the men's version. It's in black or gray packaging and it's, you know, got a different name. It's kind of interesting to just see how these things are marketed.
I like, they say that their target market is for the guy who is on the arc of adulting. I'm not sure exactly what that means. They said getting rid of your IKEA furniture or something like that. So
upgrading a little bit, you know, and I do have some sympathy for, like, if you're a guy, you have the swank looking bathroom. Like, do you want something in there that's white and pink? Maybe you don't.
No,
right?
I don't think you do. And then so they're going into Ulta, but only women shop in Ulta, right? So what's the point of that?
So maybe not only all women, but it is like they said 70% of their buyers are men. But then of the 30% that are women, some are actually buying the product for themselves. You know, their product isn't super like the hyper masculine scent and thing. It's like in a pretty teal package. So I guess maybe it's almost a unisex for a few of their customers.
And maybe it's women saying, honey, shut up and wear this.
Could definitely be that.
You talk too much and you could smell better.
Yep.
Andrea Haynes. Say, what's up in Red Eye this weekend?
So Red Eye's all about Riot Fest. Riot Fest had a rocky start with getting its schedule and things out this year, but it's going on this weekend and the weather looks absolutely perfect. So be an exciting weekend for that.
All right, we'll check that out. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. And here we are on 720 WGN. In the studio now, Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network. And I was just saying earlier, Tom, that you are able to make your points in very clear and concise ways.
Thank you.
And never use too many words.
Well, it didn't sound so flattering when I heard it on the speaker, but I appreciate it.
What do you think of that? I think in general, women talk more than men. I'm confident. I don't feel that sexist. And then there was a study that talked about men on conference calls and men in business who talk forever. And I kind of can hear that being true.
I think women tend to be more social creatures, so they'll talk more the way you inferred it, I think.
Right.
And I think in a business setting, when a woman isn't confident in her answer or doesn't know, she'd rather keep her mouth quiet. And when a man doesn't know something, he'll talk in circles to make people think he's smart.
There's nothing worse than sitting through someone who just keeps talking.
Well, and when they don't know what they're talking about.
Right.
And
or they try to use words.
It kills me.
They just use these words that they would never use in normal conversation.
Heretofore,
you and I have been, you know.
I'm a relatively intelligent guy, but I'm a state college guy, always, right? Now, it took me until maybe I was 35, and then I felt comfortable to sit across from somebody and go, I don't know what you just said. they don't know what they just said.
That's exactly it. Say, could you please define that for me? Because I need a little help with that.
Totally.
All right, so you're in the job of finding people jobs.
Yep.
Or finding people for jobs.
Yes, correct.
Is it easier or harder right now? I would imagine you're much more in demand.
We're much more in demand. When unemployment's this low, it's always a challenge to find people. But we'd always rather have a better economy and lower unemployment.
Right.
There's a shorter supply, but that means those of us in the recruiting industry who are good, you can do
better. They're going to come to you, right? And I would imagine the payoff is a little better, too.
Yeah, our business is up 30% year over year.
Nice. But it's been growing pretty much. We're not going to do a commercial for LaSalle Network.
We're a growing company.
You're doing very well.
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of people are doing pretty well right now, and the job offers are coming left and right,
correct.
Right? So what do you do if you are... Well, first of all, let's start with the obvious one. You're not so happy. Job offers come in. How do you decide?
Well, I think there's an interesting thing, right? We're in this eternal search for happiness in this millennial, right? So I think to look at this and say, what aren't you happy about, and can I fix it where I'm at?
Right. Or are you just going to be unhappy?
Yes. If you're just unhappy, then I guess the goal is make as much money as you can and be miserable wherever.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
But if you're unhappy because of your boss, try to build a better relationship with your boss. If you're unhappy because of the commute, see if there's a solution within your own organization. If you like the work and you like the people, to go and make a few dollars more in an environment you don't know. There is the expression, the devil you know is better than the devil you don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've been living that.
Right. And the cliche, I assume we're talking professionally and not personally.
Yes,
I've met your wife. Yeah, she's delightful.
She's wonderful.
And so the issue of the grass isn't, cliches are cliches for a reason.
Right, sure.
Right? The grass isn't always greener.
Okay, right. So if you tend to be someone who's just disgruntled, you might not be any better off jumping.
So the issue of a counteroffer, what used to be of don't accept a counteroffer when you resign, is now saying, well, the economy's so good, people don't want to lose you. You can get a real bump at where you're at.
Okay, but I would imagine if I'm the boss and someone's coming to me sort of only for a counteroffer, right?
I mean, you need to know what's going on.
So if you get a better offer somewhere else and you come back, is it okay if someone down the street gives me X and I go back to my boss and say, hey, look, they're going to give me X. Can you give me X and Y, or I'm going to go?
Yeah, I think that it's an okay conversation, but be ready for them to call your bluff.
And say, no, we'd rather you go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so someone else down the street does offer you a job. How do you decide if it's worth going?
The question, exactly right. So if somebody comes and says that to me and they're really just looking for a counter, my question is, why did you go on the interview?
Right.
What was the, right? They didn't just call you up and say, here's 30 grand more. You voluntarily went and met with them. And I'm not necessarily mad about that. That's human nature. The question is, what were you unhappy about here that was enticing for you? If it was purely about money, let's talk about how much money you think you're worth, what that is, what that job entails, and figure out if this is the right place for you.
How often is it not about money? It was a backward question, but I mean, isn't it almost always about money?
No, I don't think it's necessary. No, I've been doing this for 23 years, right? A lot of people leave for lateral salaries.
And then that's just because they don't like the workplace.
They don't like the location. They don't like the manager. They don't like the industry. They're worried about growth.
There is luxury now, and we've got to go. But at this time, because you can do something for adventure, you can do something because you want to try it, right? Because the demand is so great out there for workers. Yeah,
if it fails, you don't have to worry that much. Right. You can't find something else.
Tom Gimbel, the CEO of LaSalle Network, at LaSalle Network.
Yep.
At Tom Gimbel.
Correct.
Or his cell number is?
Whatever you want it to be.
It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. Here we are on 720 WGN. It's going to be a beautiful weekend ahead in this September, but what are you doing in October a little bit later in the fall? Maybe you'll check out the tour, the Open House Chicago, which kicks off, I think it's October 12th and 13th. We'll talk to an expert now about that. Eric Rogers is on the phone line. Eric, it would be terrible if I started with the incorrect dates. What are the dates for this next month?
You're off by just one, Steve. It's the 13th and 14th, Saturday and Sunday.
All right, so this is what, the eighth year you've been doing this?
It is, yeah. The Chicago Architecture Center, as we have recently been renamed, has been presenting Open House Chicago every year since 2011, and it's gotten bigger and better every year.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the Chicago Architecture Center going to be part of this? Because I've been peeking around the corner here. You're not too far from us on the Pedway, and it's just a beautiful facility.
Well, you should absolutely come check us out. Because our space is new this year, we are actually part of a select group of sites, a small group, only nine, that require advanced registration this year, which is taking place via a lottery, which is currently up on our website for signups right now through the 21st.
Is it open generally otherwise?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes, our center had its grand opening over the holiday weekend 2 weeks ago, and the response has been absolutely fantastic. People have been flocking to see the newly expanded exhibit space with the immersive Chicago model experience, as well as the skyscraper gallery with the building tall exhibit.
Okay, so enough of that. You can do see that any weekend if you want, but on the 13th and 14th of October, this Open House Chicago is around the site. How many sites?
All of our marketing material says 250 plus, and my joke is always to emphasize the plus.
Yeah.
It looks like we're clocking in just about 280 this year. There's always a little bit of wiggling as the list finalizes, but we're really excited to be presenting a huge number of very diverse sites in more than 30 distinct communities all over the Chicago area.
I think the beauty of this, too, is, I mean, it'd be great if you were to see the historical site around the corner from you or an interesting building in your neighborhood, but I think the real beauty of it is this is a way for people to get to know the neighborhood one over or two over or six over, the neighborhoods that they might have ideas about but don't really know that well.
Absolutely. And we do a little bit of surveying, and we know in most years well over half of the attendees of Open House Chicago actually go to a neighborhood that they've never been to before.
That's great.
And most of them say that it improves their perception of those neighborhoods, and I think really just makes us feel, you know, proud to be Chicagoans and much more appreciative of what we have. So it is a great opportunity to trek across town or, you know, even to the neighborhood next door if you've never gone there and see what there is to see there.
91,000 people took part last year?
Yeah, 91,000 unique visitors. That's an estimate. The number we know for sure is that they made 347,000 site visits during that weekend.
That's pretty amazing.
So we count every single one of them.
Okay, so give me some ideas of what people are going to look at. Well, let's do it by virtue of the new neighborhoods, right? I think Austin is new this year. Morgan Park is new this year, correct?
Correct, as well as Beverly.
And Beverly, too. So what are the sorts of things or places that people would visit in those neighborhoods if they were to go?
So we were so excited to expand into those communities this year, and I want to give a shout-out to our terrific community partners. In Austin, we worked with Austin Coming Together, which has been spearheading the development of a new quality of life plan for the neighborhood this year. But the sites that people can visit there, there is a former bank building on Corcoran, kind of right by the Green Line at Central, that has been taken over by Catholic Charities and is now the Catholic Charities Father Augustus Tolton Peace Center. So if you like historic banks, it's a cool thing to see. It's a 1920s building with a vault. It's got a groovy 1960s addition. But there's also a great story there about, you know, how the building is being reused to meet needs in the neighborhood today, which I think is great. So that's one example. Just a few short blocks away, there are actually quite a few sites within an easy walk of that location, which is always something that we strive for as we organize the event. But just a couple blocks away is Third Unitarian Church, which was designed in the late 1930s by the noted modernist Paul Schweiker. And it's really distinctive, you know, not like any church that I've seen anywhere else. And I've seen a whole lot of them.
So we're talking about how neighborhoods matter and the people in those neighborhoods. But, you know, you guys make the point of design matters, and this will be a way for people to learn how design counts, how it has things to say. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, we always want design to be part of the civic conversation, and Chicagoans already get that to a large extent. We believe that, you know, our event in only 8 years has become the second largest of its kind in the world on the strength of Chicagoans' interest in architecture. But we can always push that further and make sure that people are appreciating the historic legacy of the amazing architecture that, you know, has been built here over the last 130 years, and that they're also looking at what is being built today and, you know, what's great about it and what could be better about it.
You brought something up interesting there. You said it's the second largest of its kind in the world, right? This whole thing started in London, I think, in the early 90s. Chicago is just in its ninth year, and already it's number two when it comes to the entire world. That's pretty amazing. It takes place in, what, 30, 40 cities around the world?
A little over 40 do similar programs. Either Open House is sort of one of the umbrella organizations, which originated in London about 25 years ago, and they're the prohibitive largest. And here in North America, there are actually a large number of cities that offer something called a Doors Open event.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'd love to give a shout out to Milwaukee. Doors Open Milwaukee is happening this coming weekend, and it's a fantastic event. It's basically the same thing as Open House Chicago, but, you know, in our sister to the north.
I always give Milwaukee a plug. Eric Rogers, and you can find more information at openhousechicago.org. Have a great time next month, and I appreciate you joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having us, and I hope everybody gets out and takes advantage of this free event. Thank you.
Go check it out. You bet. Okay, I want to say a quick thanks to John Hansen, who filled in for me yesterday. I actually was golfing with TS Financial in Lake Forest. They invite me out every year, and we had a great time there, and John was sitting in the studio here, and I certainly appreciate that. All right, you know what time it is, right? It's time for my favorite part of the show.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start the timer, because here's the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. Okay, gentlemen's clubs, whatever your perspective about these kinds of establishments, we just found out a little bit about what they could be worth. VIPs is a gentleman's club near Goose Island, and it was just sold for $10.5 million. $10.5 million for what's pretty much a bar with specialized dancing. The edge, though, that VIPs has against the competition is the full-service bar. That's probably what the buyer from RCI Hospitality Holdings was attracted to. The now parent company is a Texas-based operation that runs clubs and restaurants all around the country, and it's been traded on the NASDAQ for over 20 years. So, from a business perspective, it seems like a good investment for RCI. And quick update from earlier in the week about the hotel demonstrations going on downtown. They have officially been striking for 1 week, and with the hundreds of union supporters outside various hotels every single day, they see no signs of slowing down. Maybe Airbnb might be the way to go this weekend. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
The number of the week this week is 180. Now, this comes from Politico's reporting. They say that white men actually are in the minority this year when it comes to House Democratic candidates for the Congress. So a House Democratic candidate, if chances are you are a white man, actually less than 1 in 2, you're in the minority. Democrats have nominated 180 female candidates for the House primaries. The old record was 120. In fact, people of color nominated for the Democrats for Congress this year, at least 133. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN. On a phone line now is Front Row Phyllis to talk about what we might want to do this weekend. And we do that with Maroon 5 in the background. Phyllis, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. You want to sing along here with the...
I don't want the listeners to shut off the radio at this point.
None of us do. None of us do. What's up this weekend for us?
So, like you were saying, Maroon 5 is taking the stage tonight over at the United Center. The house will be rocking. They are here on their Red Pill Blues tour, of course, in collaboration with their latest album that was released, which is their 6th album. And I don't know if you know this, but these guys are actually one of the top-selling musical artists around. Yeah, they have sold over 75 million albums.
Wow, how long have they been around? Do you know when their first album was?
You know, I don't know in front of me, but I want to say, 10 years maybe?
Oh, it's got to be probably at least 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. So, you know what? And Adam Levine keeps himself extremely busy. I mean, everything from The Voice to touring with the guys and now a family guy. So he definitely, we're doing something right. That's for sure.
Their first album was 1994, I'm told. Bennett Wakenight checking that out in the studio. You know, it's
that's
not on
great.
Your list. I'm going to go see Gypsy Kings tonight at the at Ravinia. I don't think that's on your list, but I went through.
It wasn't on my list. That is exciting. Are you excited? They're great to see in concert.
I went through a real Gypsy Kings jag, you know, a while ago. And I think I did see them once before at Ravinia. I don't remember, but we're probably going to check that out tonight.
Amazing.
You know, another group that sort of was a crossover and hit with just about everyone was Lady Antebellum, and I think they're in town too, or coming up soon.
Yeah, they are in town over at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater tomorrow evening. And of course, they are the 7-time Grammy winners and Darius Rucker, 3-time Grammy winner. And they're here on their Summer Please on tour. And, you know, they actually have an incredible long-time friendship. But besides that, they've toured together. So it's a pretty comfortable environment. And you're going to hear, it's just going to be an evening filled with all kinds of hits from both groups. So, yep.
Lady Antebellum, Darius Rucker at the Hollywood Casino.
Yeah.
And then what's coming up in the future? Something next week, maybe?
Yeah, well, let's talk about a couple things. Is one, Tootsie. Tootsie the Musical.
Oh, okay, that's running now.
Yeah, so that is running now through October 14th. You definitely want to jump on this. And we know this is over at the Cadillac Theater, and we know this from the film with Dustin Hoffman, and where, you know, the struggling actor, he's also a difficult actor, changes himself, and it changes himself to a female. Remember the play. So it was a great movie. It's going to be a phenomenal musical. Can't wait to see it.
Is Dustin Hoffman starring in this? He's not starring in this, is he?
He's not. But you I couldn't can get tell him? You this. No.
How about Jessica Lange? Is Jessica Lange? No.
No, she's busy too.
Okay.
But and then one other that you want to check out, and that is Ringo Starr and his all-star band is going to be live and in person over at the Chicago Theater on September 22nd. Yeah.
I've never seen Ringo Starr. Have you?
Yeah, you got to check this out. I am telling you, phenomenal. And then he brings his all-star band are different musicians from different top groups.
Right.
And they all bring their popular songs, so you hear hit after hit after hit, and it's just an incredible night.
And
so you definitely want to check it out.
September 22nd at the Chicago Theater.
Yep.
How do people find out more information, Phyllis?
Just go to frontrowphyllis.com.
All right, have a great weekend, will you?
You too.